Good morning and welcome to our TGRN broadcast here of the Beacon Church of Christ in Gun Barrel City. We welcome you to this program and for your continued tuning in over these past weeks and months. We have been very glad to have this opportunity to use TGRN, and we are very appreciative of the good people out there that help us put this program on the air. And we're very appreciative of all you who've been tuning in for these many weeks and months. We had no idea when this first started that we would have to do this for such a lengthy period of time, but nonetheless, we're very glad to have the opportunity still available to us. If you get a chance, tune into the TGRN program sometime beyond what is here on Sunday. You'll notice they have a wide range of programming available by many different sound gospel preachers, and I know that you would be benefited from tuning in during the weekday. Also, please keep on your mind that we are open for services on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We've modified our schedule just a little bit to accommodate trying to be safe. So we're here Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. We're having good attendance, not what we want, of course, because of COVID, but we are having good attendance, and we certainly would appreciate you being a part of that if you feel comfortable with that, and we have all the personal protection equipment that you might could want. Also, we are distancing, so please feel free to come. We have not had a outbreak of corona in many months, and certainly we feel like the way we are practicing things by meeting Sunday mornings and then not meeting again till Wednesday night is helping control some of that. So anyway, please feel very free. We would be very much encouraged by your presence, and I know you would be encouraged by being around fellow Christians. So please put that on your calendar for just as soon as you possibly can. I want to ask you to be opening in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3 this morning. Hebrews chapter 3. We'll get to a reading there in just a minute. I read this past week, about a statement made by Winston Churchill during World War II. And that statement seemed to be fitting for our current COVID culture that we're in just now. A very important battle had been won by the troops, and after that battle, Winston Churchill addressed the troops, and he said this. He said, "Now this is not the end. It is not even the beginning of the end. But it is perhaps the end of the beginning." Winston Churchill made that statement as an encouragement to the troops that even though the war was not over, they were at least over the beginning of it. For the past 11 months, we have been fighting our own war. And not just here at the Beacon Church of Christ, but churches all over the United States, communities all over the United States and around the world as well. And this has not been a war with bombs and bullets, but it has been a war with a virus. A virus that, even though it is so small it cannot be seen with the human eye, it has all but defined the year 2020 and changed nearly every aspect of how we go about our daily lives. And although this COVID war is not over, perhaps it is the end of the beginning. Perhaps we've gone past a part of it so that we can see the end from here. When at some point the China virus is just a bad memory, what will the church look like? Will we be stronger or weaker as God's family? Will we be more determined or less determined? Will we be more engaged or less engaged? Will we be more active or less active in the work that God has called us to do? Now, if for some reason you've been keeping up with the information about religion during the virus restrictions, And by religion, I mean just across the board, all religious groups. What you would find is that characteristically, virtual presence of various religious bodies has been on the increase through electronic media like Facebook, YouTube, Zoom, Skype, TikTok, and so many others. Those virtual platforms have actually been growing, but actual presence has seen a decrease. And that's certainly proven true here at the Gun Barrel Church. We have had a very good success in the world in which we try to represent ourselves virtually. And we continue to have good representation, and certainly we're very glad for that. But our actual presence has actually dropped. We are not having as many now as we did in our pre-COVID world. And so that's proven true, even here with us. Some people are even suggesting that as the virus restrictions have accelerated the trend toward shopping online, working online, going to school online, being entertained online, what has happened in that environment is that it has become easy for people just to get their religion online. And so some people have just stopped coming altogether. The Barna Research Group did a study about this just recently, and the study was actually for last year, 2020, when the coronavirus was really kind of in full swing. And what they found in their research is that of the age group of people who are baby boomers, about 26% of those individuals have stopped attending any kind of religious service. The Gen X people, which is kind of the next age group down from the baby boomers, about 35% of those have just stopped attending completely. They're getting all of their religious experience online. And then of the group millennials, those are the younger set in the mid-20s or so, and I think the range is like 15s to mid-20s. In that age group, about 50% of that age group have stopped attending actual services at some place. They are obviously the group that are very familiar with using electronic media, and they are the ones shopping online. They are the ones going to school online. They are the ones working online. And so it has become very easy for them in these restricted times of the coronavirus to just not go at all and get their religion online. A man by the name of Tony Morgan, in his report called Q3 Unstuck Church, he made this statement. He said, "It's hard to go back to normal when normal is disappearing." So what about it, church? How do we safeguard ourselves as the body of Christ and as individual Christians so that the virtual conveniences developed in response to our COVID culture do not bring us to set aside what God expects of us for worship and for work in His church? Are actually being involved, are literally being involved in coming together as the people of God and as actually reaching out and doing the work. How do we protect ourselves so that the conveniences that we're dealing with right now do not overshadow what God has called us to be involved in? The passage that we have before us this morning in Hebrews chapter 3 is one of three passages in the book of Hebrews that can help with an answer to that question. I want you to read with me, if you would, please, Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse number 12. And here the writer says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. The Hebrew Christians to whom this letter was written, they were having to understand the importance of one another in the times of difficulties. The Christians in Jerusalem to whom this letter were written, they weren't dealing with a virus challenge like we are, but they were dealing with a challenge nonetheless. And the challenge was threatening to drag them away from faithful service to Christ. And so the inspired writer shows them some things they can do, not just to hold on to their Christianity, but to move on in their Christianity, to actually make progress and to actually go forward in their Christian lives. And I want to submit to you this morning that what worked for them will work for us as well. And I'm going to call our time together this morning, engage everyone. Engage everyone. There are three times in this Hebrew letter that the writer called attention to the fact that there is the work that we're involved in that takes all of us being actively involved. And by all of us being actively involved, we become stronger and better. And we don't just hold on. We actually move forward in being busy in the life of the church. Now stay right here with me in Hebrews chapter 3, because this is where we find the first one of these, in which the writer gives us the exhortation there in verse 13 to exhort one another. What's it going to take to not just hold on but to move on? Well, it's going to take all of us engaged in exhorting one another. That's Hebrews chapter 3 in verse number 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now I want you to look very carefully with me at this verse, because there's really quite a lot here for us. First of all, the writer calls us to pay attention to what we are to do. And what we are to do is to exhort one another. The word means literally to call alongside, or to call alongside for the purpose of encouraging or building up. In fact, some Bibles, instead of using the word exhort, use the word encourage. Encourage one another. Build up one another. And that's individual Christians. That's you and that's me. Taking the time, giving deliberate attention to looking about me to see how I can help encourage a brother or a sister in Christ. And so it means to encourage or build up. And then he tells us who we are to do it to, when he says, but exhort one another. One another, that's all of us. All of us need encouragement. All of us need building up. All of us need strength. We need strength at regular times, and we certainly need strength and encouragement during difficult times that we're living in just now. So he tells us what to do. He tells us who we are to do it to, all of us involved, all of us engaged. And then he tells us how often, doesn't he? Look at this verse again. But exhort one another. And then he says daily, doesn't he? Daily. Well, you can slice and dice it any way you want to. What that simply means is it's every single day. Every single day, you be about the business of building up someone, of encouraging someone, of strengthening someone. That's you taking the responsibility to do that every single day. And myself taking the responsibility to do that every single day. You know, even in the best of times, just living through this world in normal times, it has enough about it, because the standards of the world and the influences of the world are so different than what you find in Christ. There's just enough on normal, routine, day-to-day life that we need to be about the business of encouraging one another every single day. But that is more so complicated when we're living in times just like this, when our lives are anything but normal, when we have anything but free access to one another. So it is so important during times like this that every single day you and I reach out to somebody. And then what the writer also does to us is he tells us why we're to do this. Let any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You see, we have to be careful every single day we live in this world, and we need to build up one another because of that. Now, who is the one another? Well, that's easy, isn't it? That's all of us. Be the Christian who takes time to reach out, and it takes all of us reaching out. Let me tell you something you already know. Maybe you've already experienced to some degree. Isolation changes people, doesn't it? Isolation changes people. Maybe you've felt that in your own life. The pandemic has shown the world how fundamental social contact is in our lives. There's no doubt that it is certainly convenient to shop online, to work online, to go to school online, and even to stream services online. There's no doubt that's convenient and easy. But you know what? It has a negative effect. So what do we do? Well, we take the time to encourage one another. We take the time to build one another up. We take the time to make sure we're reaching out. One of my favorite parts of Paul's letter is his closing sections. And Paul, in those closing sections, characteristically, he just lists a whole bunch of people who have done some special deed in their service to the church or maybe to him personally. And he just lists these people out by name. And he was a great encourager. He encouraged people publicly. He encouraged community. He didn't just encourage his friends and co-laborers, but he cultivated an atmosphere of appreciation and encouragement in the whole church. He greeted them and he told them to greet one another. I want you to notice with me a passage in Romans 16. We'll come back to Hebrews here in a minute, but look at Romans chapter 16, verse 11 in your Bible. And Paul says this to the Roman church. He says, "Salute Herodion, my kinsmen. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord." Verse 12, "Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Philegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologos and Julia, Nersis and his sister Olympus, and all of the saints that are with them. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you." Look at all these great people Paul is not only himself reaching out to, encouraging them publicly, he's reaching out to build them up, but then he says, now you reach out too. You greet Philologus. You salute Julia. Go by and see him and encourage him. Give my regards to Nerus. Paul fostered community because he knew how important that was. And you know what? He even encouraged people he didn't know. He would say things like, the church that is at their house, or saints that are with them. Maybe he knew all those saints. Maybe he didn't. But you see what he's doing? It didn't make a difference. He's encouraging everybody that he can. And it shouldn't make a difference to us either. Oh, we all get our comfort zones and we have a few people that we are familiar with and maybe like to reach out to, but reach out to people that you maybe don't know who are part of your church family to encourage them. So here's what we can do. Call somebody. Text somebody. Zoom somebody, send them a card, whatever. Your contact to encourage them, that may be all they need, not just to hold on, but to move on in their Christian life. You take the time to reach out. You take the time to encourage. All of us need to take it upon ourselves to look around and see who's missing, see who's struggling, who's isolating at home, who maybe is just fearful and they really don't know what to do. Who maybe has become accustomed to just streaming online and they really need the encouragement of the actual presence. Just look about and see how we can help in those ways. I want to tell you something. If we all follow the instructions of Paul in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, it will make a difference. Paul there says, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So exhort, encourage, build up one another. It will help us not just hold on. It will help us move on. And then he gives us something else to consider. This is over in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. You might turn in your Bibles just there now. Hebrews 10 and verse number 24. And in this passage he says this, and let us consider one another. There's our phrase again, isn't it? One another. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Let's look at a couple of things here. First of all, the idea of consider. He says, consider one another. Consider is a word tense that means you do this and then you keep on doing this. Deliberately look to your brothers and sisters to see how you could help them. And we'll notice here in a minute, but it's specifically for their work that they're doing in Christ. And so what we have is a conscious, willful choice that I'm going to continually consider, I'm going to continually keep looking out for brothers and sisters in Christ who need help in their work for Christ. All right? And then secondly, he has this idea here about provoke. And provoke, it means to stimulate. It means to sharpen. It's the only time it's ever used in the entire New Testament. And one translation puts it this way, to spur one another on to love and good works. Boy, that's a vivid illustration, isn't it? We all know what a spur is. A spur is what you use, particularly if you're mounted to a horse, to get the horse to move. Now, he doesn't mean it in the sense of actually jabbing one another, but he means it in such a way that we reach out like that to bring people to be more active and more involved because we're encouraging them in the work that they're doing. And so here's the idea. The idea is we need one another to be the workers we ought to be. We not only need one another to help us be faithful, as we saw earlier, but we need one another to help us in our work. We need one another to help us in our work for Christ. And in fact, here's a very important connection. You cannot miss the connection of verse 24 to verse 25. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. There's that one another passage again, isn't it? But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You see, what the writer does, first of all, in verse 24, is he tells us what we're to be doing, and then he tells us how we're going to do that. We're going to do this by not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's so very important. Part of what assembling together is all about is so that we can do just this. We can encourage one another and spur on ourselves to even greater works. Notice the connection of these verses. And then look at this passage too. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 2. Paul there writes, "For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal," let's talk about this just a minute, "and your zeal hath provoked very many." Now that's in the context of the churches of Achaia, which would be the church in Corinth, how that when they heard about the need of the brethren in Jerusalem because they needed some funds to help them out, they got busy right away, started putting their collection together, and Paul is writing about that, and he's telling them that your activity, your zeal in doing this, it provoked very many. Well, what does that mean? It means the Corinthians were excited about the work of helping others, and because they were excited, they caused others to be excited. So here's the idea. When people see you involved, well, they want to be involved. Your enthusiasm gives them enthusiasm. Your determination gives them determination. Your excitement gives them excitement. Someone wrote that Christians ought to be contagious. Now, that's not contagious like spreading COVID There's enough of that already. But it's contagious for spreading Christ. Your zeal for actively serving spreads zeal to others. Let me ask you, is your commitment infectious? The work of Christ needs all of us to be spiritually contagious. You remember one time Paul was under house arrest because of a big fat lie somebody told about him. Well, what is he doing while he's in house arrest? What is he doing, excuse me, while he's under confinement? Well, I'll tell you what he's doing. He's talking to everyone he can about Christ. That had two very positive effects. Number one, people in the Roman palace were becoming Christians. There were Christians in places there had never been Christians before because Paul was taking the time to open his mouth while he was confined. Number two, the church in Rome, well, they got busy. They got busy talking to others. Here's Philippians 1 and verse 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Is your faith contagious? Is anyone else more active because they've been watching your level of activity? Is anyone more involved because they've been watching how involved you are? Let's be contagious. Contagious Christianity helps us not just to hold on, not just to circle the wagons and remain where we are, but it helps us to move on. It helps us to launch out. So provoke one another. Now here's the last one. In Hebrews 13 and verse 1, Paul says to love one another. To love one another. Now, if you look at that verse, go ahead and turn there in your Bibles, Hebrews 13 verse 1, you'll notice that the idea of one another is not literally written in that passage, but Paul uses the phrase, let brotherly love continue. Well, brotherly, that's a word encompassing all of us. It's something that we do together. In the original, this is a very interesting statement. It's in the form, actually, of a command, an imperative command. And the last word here, continue, let brotherly love continue, it carries the idea of let this not change, or let nothing happen to. And so we could say it just as well like this. Don't let anything happen to your love for one another. Don't let anything change your love for one another. You see, there's something so fundamental, so basic, so foundational about our love for one another that it must be protected at all costs. Because the reality is that if love for one another fails, what else really matters? And that's really why God spends so much time on the subject of love. Look at John chapter 13 and verse 35. Jesus speaking and there says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. What about Romans chapter 12 verses 9 and 10? Let love be without dissimulation. That means anything mixed or impure. So he's saying, let it be pure. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affection, here it is again, one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. In Galatians 5 and verse 13, he put it this way, by love serve one another. And Peter puts the bow in the box when in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, Peter says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love, here it is again, one another with a pure heart fervently. When we look at these verses, it's no wonder Paul wrote what he did in that love chapter of the Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 13, he said, the greatest of these is love. You see, there's nothing higher than love. There's nothing that will ever come along and outdo love. There's nothing stronger, there's nothing more bold, nothing more triumphant, nothing more victorious. I like how it's stated in Song of Solomon chapter 8 and verse 6. And there the statement is made that love is strong as death. Well, that's an expressive phrase, isn't it? Love is as strong as death. And then the next verse in Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 7, many waters cannot quench love. Let's keep the spirit of Hebrews 13, verse 1 alive. Don't let anything happen to your love. Don't let anything stop your love one for another. Our love for God and our love for one another, and that kind of love, you see, helps us again not just to hold on, but it helps us to move on. And when we all engage in that kind of love, it helps us to move us to where we should be, move us beyond where we are. Last week we spent some time in this letter to the Hebrews, and last week what we noticed was that God provides things for us to ground us and root us. And we notice that God gives us three things. He gives us the word to convict the soul. He gives us hope to anchor the soul. And he gives us faith to save the soul. Now, being rooted is important. We can't be drifting around. We have to have that solid, steadfast, steady mooring. Paul told the Corinthians, "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." He connected being steadfast and unmovable to the idea of moving forward, abounding in the work of the Lord. We've got to have both of those. We've got to be rooted and grounded, but we got to keep moving forward. It's so important to keep moving forward, especially in challenging times. And what helps us to keep moving forward is all of us reaching out. All of us exhorting one another. All of us provoking one another. All of us loving one another as God has called us to do. All of us having a Christianity that is contagious and is supportive of one another helps us not just to hold on, but it helps us to move on. To move on from where we are to yet even greater works in the cause of Christ. If there's some way we can help you with that here at the Beacon Church of Christ, we are most certainly glad to do so. Please just contact us. We have our information available on our webpage and on Facebook and other media that makes it available. We'd be glad to help you in whatever way that we can. If you can come and visit with us, we would be grateful for that as well. Once again, we're meeting at 10 a.m. in the morning for our Sunday morning for our Sunday morning worship, and then Wednesday night at 6 for our evening worship. Thank you for tuning into our program today.